Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everyone. I want to thank you for listening today. And today we have Karen Stewart on the line, and she worked for the NSA as an intelligence analyst for 20 years. And I hope that's correct, but that's what I've discovered by talking to her. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put her on the line, and I'm going to let her make a statement. And she's going to make her statement, and I want you guys to listen closely to what she's about to say, okay, because this is the real deal you're about to hear. So if you're out there and you're on Twitter and everything, go ahead and tell your friends to tune in to listen, because this is probably going to be one of the biggest interviews of our time, probably. So, Ms. Karen, Ms. Stewart, go ahead. You got the floor.
All right. Thank you very much. I said that I wrote down a statement to read to you so that we can be concise and precise, so I'm going to go ahead. All right. As we approach yet another anniversary of 9/11, 14 years after the fact, almost every adult in the USA can remember where he or she was that day, that morning, and the gamut of emotions that played out in our hearts and our minds. On that day, we Americans could not imagine a horror and injustice beyond such a scope, nor even begin to fathom the demonic depravity of those who had devised and executed such a plan. But in 2 days' time, I would discover something far worse that would stay with me forever, that my employer, the National Security Agency, had knowingly allowed the attack on September 11th, 2001. Now, this is just a little background. At that point in my life, I had been an intelligence analyst for about 20 years. I came from a military family. My father had served in the Air Force, served in Vietnam, helped plan the defense of the Fulda Gap in Europe against potential Soviet invasion in the 1970s, and had retired back to his hometown with his family, where I finished up college. Instead of going into the military, I decided to use my talents and ability to serve my country within the intelligence community. Thus, I applied for and got a position with the National Security Agency in 1982. Due to my generation's known experimentation with recreational drugs, my initial session with the NSA job interviewer became contentious when she required me to admit that I had done drugs but promised to never do them again while employed by NSA. She simply refused to believe anyone my age had the character to refuse to participate in drinking and drug experimentation, but I had decided early in life that that was not for me. A job interview polygraph proved I was telling the truth. I was hired with no problems in my background to ever cause NSA any heartburn. Now, getting back to the morning of September 11, 2001, my small team of workers were the first who had moved into an almost empty division-sized room on the backside of NSA. On the backside of NSA in the Weapons and Space Division. So we had it almost completely to ourselves, but for our female deputy division chief manning the front office. A little before 9 a.m., she ran over to our area, telling us to quickly come to her office to see an awful event unfolding on TV. When we got there, we saw smoke pouring out of the first twin tower struck, but it was not clear what had happened. When the division chief said that a commercial jetliner had struck the building, we suspected it was no accident. When we saw the second jet approach, we knew it was an attack and that there could be more targets. While NSA upper management was silent, I convinced a coworker to leave and go home since he was an older man with severe mobility issues. I got him to his car and saw him off. As I was returning to the building, people began leaving the building telling me that NSA management had finally decided to release the workforce. We had wondered why management had taken so long to come to an obvious conclusion, but we learned later that they had told their assistants to release the general workforce only after the last executive had left. When the general workforce was released en masse, however, the main complex became a massive traffic jam with people stuck in their cars for literally hours. According to friends who worked in other areas of NSA headquarters, had NSA been targeted, many would have perished in their cars. I lucked out in that I parked in a lesser frequented area and was home in 15 minutes. Like all of America, I sat glued to the TV trying to make sense of it all. I believe the general workforce was allowed to return to work Thursday, September 13th. As I walked down the hall toward my office, I came upon a group of people standing in the hall. There were 3 to 4 women standing around a man in his early 40s, who was not only crying, but crying in almost breathless, heaving sobs that were making his whole body shake. His story came out in bits and pieces, beginning with, "All those people did not have to die. We could have saved them. We knew this was being planned 6 months ago, but they," meaning NSA upper management, "would not let us," meaning him and his team, "issue the numerous reports that we had written outlining the who, what, where, and why of the attacks. When this man's team thought the problem was the convincing of the managers with evidence, they went into overdrive to gather even more evidence to convince NSA management to allow them to warn the appropriate authorities." He said that NSA management used NSA security then to begin threatening them, demanding that they cease and desist bothering management about this plot and cease investigating this topic, or they would face disciplinary actions, even up to and including job dismissal. After getting his story out, and with many women trying to comfort him, the man was finally able to put himself together and return to his office. I was horrified and stunned. I had not imagined that I could feel worse than I had come, than I had coming into work that morning, but I did. I waited to see if this was spoken of again, and in the next few weeks or months, but it clearly became a forbidden topic. It was not until a few years later that my paths crossed with yet another analyst from the very same office as the crying man, who also had tried desperately to convince NSA management to allow the people on his team to issue a series of warnings delineating the 9/11 plot. He was a senior analyst and a rare and brilliantly talented multilinguist. That's a person who speaks multiple foreign languages well. When this analyst, who I'll call Hero, because he truly was, he kept trying to convince management to allow 9/11 warning reports to be issued, ignoring their threats, NSA upper management sicked NSA security on him, specifically Security Psychological Services, which is comprised largely of substandard psychologists who, due to poor ability, psychological problems of their own, or previous serious breaches in medical ethics, are largely unemployable elsewhere. These attack psychologists are ordered to write up a targeted person in a way as to portray him or her as mentally ill, with their favorite one-trick pony being an accusation of paranoia with delusions. Thus, Hero was written up as being obsessed with World War II and kamikaze pilots, to dismiss his concerns that hundreds of Americans were in danger and could die. Then low-level NSA security thugs were sent to follow him 24/7 for months as intimidation, but also to flesh out the fraudulent NSA psychological attack premise of his being paranoid and delusional, and therefore unfit to hold a security clearance or work at NSA. What better method than to actually send people to follow him around and intimidate him so NSA could accuse him of thinking people were following him around and out to get him? They certainly were. Once Hero was fraudulently fired by security using NSA's tried-and-true psychological gaslighting attack conspiracy to circumvent the Federal No Fear Act, which clearly forbids retaliatory dismissal and fraudulent psychological attacks as well as other abuses of power, NSA security's harassment did not stop there. Though Hero had highly sought after unique talents, NSA security blackballed him from any other federal job to keep him from finishing up his 30 years with the government that would have enabled him to collect full his federal pension, and then sabotage through vicious slander any and all well-paying positions he applied for in the private sector for about a decade, keeping his ability to earn a living at a bare minimum. After the decade of punishment for trying to go against NSA's wishes to save the 9/11 victims, he was told that security would finally allow him to apply for a job commensurate with his talent and education without telling his new employer lies about him to ruin his prospects or viciously slander him throughout a new community as they had previously. But security caveated that with the warning that if he ever spoke about the fact that NSA had had all the information needed to thwart the attacks 6 months before they happened, that they would hound him the rest of his life and keep him from ever again holding a job with a living wage. Carroll also reported that occasionally he still would return from work that to find that someone had gotten into his home and rearranged his belongings as a message to him that he was still being watched and that they can get to him at any time that they want. So, Hero will forever remain an unknown American hero who lost so very much in his efforts to save his fellow Americans, which is truly a shame. But the fact that people still in power at NSA felt that they had the option of reporting intelligence that would save almost 3,000 American lives or sit on it in order to trick Congress into throwing an unending supply of money to them, for which they are by and large unaccountable, as well as writing legislation for them to satiate their desire to subvert the Constitution, is and should be a serious concern to all thinking Americans.
Wow. Absolutely amazing. So what you're saying is, right there in the end, is they basically let it, they said, okay, well, we could turn this intel in, or we won't turn it in, and we'll get endless amounts of money, and we'll be able to violate the Constitution and manipulate the system the way we want it to go, basically, is what they was doing. That's what
that's
I got
exactly
from
what
it.
Happened. That's exactly what happened.
Wow, that's about as evil as it gets. I mean, we're talking about Satan-level evil. I mean, that is horrible. So I do have a question for you. Who do you think was really responsible for the 9/11 attacks?
From what I can tell, and I'm not going to tell you I know everything, from what I can tell, it was perpetrated by who they said, but the whole problem is that we knew about it and allowed it when we could
right,
have
now,
stopped it. I have seen reports by somebody else who worked for the CIA who said CIA knew at the same time that this was going to happen, but they did nothing. So that tells me someone higher in government basically told people to stand down and allow it to happen. That's what it sounds like. But I think NSA was drawn into it by basically discussing the fact that if they allowed it to happen, that they could finally get rid of a lot of the pesky constitutional restrictions that they fought against, and then get a budget that they really wouldn't have to account to anybody for. And I think that sucked them in.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. Because, like I said, if they have the threat, then they can, you know, have mass surveillance and get, like you said, get endless amounts of money. That makes complete sense. And as far as we know, Dick Cheney did give a stand down order, and I can't remember the guy's name that come in and asked him. He said, "Look, does the order still stand?" And Dick Cheney snapped his head around and said, he testified this in front of Congress, by the way, that Dick Cheney snapped his head around and said, "Have you heard anything to the contrary yet?" Yeah. So he's saying, yeah, we told him to stand down. And why are you asking me, do we need to stand down? Because we've already given that order. And that guy testified that in front of Congress. I wish I knew his name. I just can't think of his name right off the top of my head. So, but let me ask you this. Did you ever hear anything in the NSA about our government actually funding and aiding Al-Qaeda in any way at all?
That I did not hear. And, I'm not going to tell you it didn't happen. That I did not hear. NSA is highly compartmented. If you are not working a particular project, you should not have access. So if there were a project like that, I would not have had access, and I would have not known about it.
Right. And the guy's name that actually testified before Congress, he was the transportation secretary, and his name was Norman Mineta. And, yeah, he testified that there was a stand-down order. So I think that's verified, you know, in and out. So, my next question is because I got quite a few here. I don't have many because I'm going to let you, you know, try to – you have the floor most of the time. Do you think that 9/11 was staged, or they let it happen so they could have war with a specific country for specific reasons?
That's a good question. From my knowledge, and I'm not going to say that it's complete or it's higher than I was allowed to have security clearances, my immediate concern is that NSA was on board with it in order to serve themselves. Basically, again, like I said, I think they got sucked in by the enticement of having a lot more money, and it was a power grab for them, because NSA was begun as in the 1950s, and it was chartered to only operate on foreign soil against foreigners. So with 9/11, all of a sudden, NSA was open to using surveillance and anything else they wanted within the United States against not only foreigners, but against American citizens. Now, when we were working at NSA and we had a foreigner who we had been following, a foreigner who was considered an enemy, if he came to the United States and we found that out, then we turned it over to the FBI, because the NSA was not chartered legally to do any type of surveillance on a foreigner on American soil. So they had to give that over to the FBI.
Right. Right. But I believe that was the whole plan from the get-go. I believe they set it up in the 50s knowing they was going to turn it in on the American people. I really believe that. I believe that's why Homeland Security was set up in the beginning, and the NSA, the FBI, the CIA, all of them. And we know for sure, this is 100% fact, that Osama bin Laden was trained by the CIA. We know that. That is a fact. They've declassified that, all that. So we know that for sure. And, ma'am, I like I said, you know, your bravery, I admire your bravery. I got a caller on the line. I'm going to go to him. It doesn't say a name here, but your phone number is 510-307-6271. And I'm going to go ahead and bring you on the line if you got a question. But if not, oh, well, they hung up, so I guess they didn't want to come on to the show, I don't guess. Okay, and then let me go back. So why do you think it was so important for the NSA to demonize the guy that you nicknamed Hero? Because, you know, there has to be a reason behind it. I just want to know what you think the real reason was.
Oh, I'm sure he knew all the facts. He knew where they took the information from. He knew exactly what information they had. He knew for a fact that, I mean, they had begun writing the report series that would have warned the court authorities and everybody else. But they, once they submitted them for editing and okay, NSA managers told them, no, we're not reporting this. And so he knew everything. He was one of the people who dug up the information, and he knew absolutely that they could have saved all of those lives. But they chose not to. What they did was they saw an opportunity, I think. I don't think they caused it. I don't think they funded it. I could be wrong. But my take on it, from the limited amount that I knew, was that they saw an opportunity and they took it.
Right. They knew it was coming, and they willingly sat down. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, they willingly took 3,000 lives for their
agenda.
Right.
They knew it was coming. Right. They knew it was coming. They said, okay. They sat down and calculated the cost, the risk, everything. They said, you know what? We're going to let it happen because we'll get endless money, and we can get our way. You know, I would consider that, you know, top-level evil stuff. I mean, it can be. How could you sit there and let 3,000 people die? And I remind you guys, this lady worked for the NSA for 20 years. This is not just some, and I verified her. She definitely worked there. I got everything, proof. If anybody needs it or whatever, she can send it to you. I'll let her do that. But she definitely proved it 100%. So take, you know, make sure you get these words out to everybody out there, because we got 10 minutes left with this slot with her. So, well, I just, you know, what I don't understand is how they could be such bad people that high up in government. Like, I mean, it's just amazing that they would sit down and calculate, you know, and say, well, you know what, we're going to let this happen, and we're going to get endless amounts of money, and then we're going to spy on everybody. Reckon why they had to have it that way. Reckon why, wonder why it has to be you know, they had to have it to where they could, you know, violate the Constitution and just spy on everybody. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts would be that at NSA, you are pretty much protected from much of the evil that you would do if you choose to do evil, because you are not allowed by law to report somebody by name. You're not supposed to identify the person by name. I mean, if the person could rob you at gunpoint inside NSA, and NSA would say you're not allowed to report that person to police because you're not allowed to use their name. Well, if you can't use their name, you can't report them for evil. So it becomes a crime to report criminal abuses by NSA personnel. This attracts sociopaths and psychopaths to the highest positions at NSA because they know they can do all kinds of things and not be held accountable because the workforce is bound by law to not report them by name for anything. And once they got in and into power and put all kinds of sycophants around them that would protect their backs, then they proceeded to corrupt the separate entities like the Inspector General Office and the EEO, the Equal Employment Opportunity people, into lapdogs instead of watchdogs. So the whole
absolutely
the whole premise is protecting the what I call the criminal mafia at the top.
Right. No, you're right. There's a hardcore words, friends. Y'all need to listen to this lady. Understand what she just told you. That is that they made it a crime to report a crime. So, well, I mean, that's mind-blowing. I don't have any response to that because I couldn't imagine that even being so, but I know you're telling the truth because I don't put nothing past this government at all. And let me ask you something. The NSA is not really even accountable to our government in the first place, are they?
Well, considering the fact that the people who have oversight responsibilities are congressmen and senators who have better things to do, no, they factually are not. They are theoretically responsible, but when NSA can go to a senator or a congressman who is on the oversight committee and tell them, you don't have the clearance to know that, therefore we're not answering you, then how do they
national security
do any type of oversight? I mean, it's unfathomable to me that the senators and congressmen who have oversight responsibilities do not have the clearances needed to do any type of meaningful oversight, and NSA considers this a joke, and it is a joke.
Wow. I mean, like I said, you know, that's something right out of the Twilight Zone. I mean, you would never imagine that it was that corrupt.
Oh, it's beyond. It is beyond. And I will tell you that lunchroom chatter would talk about the Maryland senators, congressmen, and other people. They would be referred to by how NSA could subvert them. One congressman was known as the glutton because NSA said, hey, we want you to vote for this, or we want you to vote against this, or we want you to submit this for law. You know, come on over to NSA, we'll give you a 7-course meal, and he would agree, come have the 7-course meal, then he would do anything that they wanted him to do. He sold out that easily. And others weren't quite such easy sales, but they were compromised. You know, I would say almost the entire Maryland state government, as well as the senators and congressmen, were well compromised by the time that they were elected and began their tenures. And NSA was known to have moles in every single senator and congressman's office.
Absolutely, so they can blackmail them. They can say, listen, we got all your emails, we got all your phone calls, either you give
exactly.
us our way or we'll put you in prison. So, you know, that is evil. I mean, there's no other word to say about it. I mean, it is just the scum of the earth seems like they run the NSA. But I already knew that, but to have you clarify it like that, just make it crystal clear, it's just unbelievable. We really need to pray for our country. We definitely need to pray for the NSA because they are off the charts crazy. I mean, I already knew that. But so blackmailing was a big thing in the NSA is basically what you're saying. They had moles planted inside the offices of all these congressmen or senators, whatever. And so that was basically to keep them in check.
Well, it was to alert them to anything that they did not want happening or that they wanted to know about ahead of time.
Right. Just, I mean, so basically had a little, I mean, wow. Because, see, I've never heard that before. I knew it. I knew they was doing things like that because it's obvious. If you're the NSA, you got all the phone records, you got all the, you know, emails and everything. So then, obviously, you can kind of say, well, look, either we get it this way or we're going to expose this. Do you want this coming out? And they'll say, oh, no, well, where's the paper? Let me sign it to keep yourself
exactly.
out of, you know, trouble or whatever. Right. Do you know of the NSA paying off anybody to keep their mouth shut? Have you ever heard anything about that?
That I have not heard. No, they seem to fight to the death to actually not be seen as being in the wrong even when they are. They
right.
will spend,
That's
they
pretty
will,
much all government,
spend,
though.
Well, yeah, they'll spend $10 million not to pay somebody suing them $1 million. So there's some kind of, I mean, the people at the top, you know, especially security. Security is run by pretty much psychopaths. And they have what some people call the dark triad personality disorder, which would be a narcissism and a megalomania, as well as Machiavellianism. So they're pretty
right.
serious mental illness disorders. And they hire people like themselves. In fact, one of my friends who used to work in the area of NSA where they would review people's resumes being sent in said that she had to leave that area because she would throw away people who had mental disorders and criminal backgrounds. She'd just throw away their resumes immediately. And she said at one point in time, security came to her and said, we want those. We want those resumes. Don't throw them away.
Right. We want
and
those crazy people because they'll do anything
right.
we say. They're lunatics like us. We can have our way with the American people, and we can do what we want to do. That is completely criminal. You know what? That's no surprise. The TSA does the same thing. The Transportation Security Agency, whatever, all in the airports, they've been known to hire child molesters and felons and just violent, crazy people that'll do whatever they want to do. You're right. Up top in the government, I believe that they are sociopaths and psychopaths, and I believe they really want to hurt America. Like, I really believe that. Because, I mean, obviously, if you go to Iraq and you kill 1 million people, you're not right in the head, especially over bogus reasons like, you know, WMDs or, you know, and then ignoring intelligence, too. I mean, you got to be one crazy person to ignore, I mean, 6 months beforehand. I mean, that's bombshell.
Right.
6 months beforehand, they knew that it was coming. Who, what, when, where, and why. They knew. That is amazing.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know that they knew the exact date, but they knew that it was around that time.
Right. They knew it was coming at the very least.
Right.
God, that's so amazing. Well, we got 2 minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and give you a minute just to close it out. If you want to go ahead and do that, and I'll take
okay.
the last 30 seconds or something. So anything
okay.
you want to
well,
say, go ahead, ma'am. It's all of you.
Okay. Well, my concern is that they're still playing these games, that they're looking at threats and deciding what to allow and what not to allow. But what I would like to see truly is the Congress, the Senate, go in there with someone of authority, maybe some FBI that isn't cooperating with NSA, and take the people out of security, the managers, polygraph them, and if they refuse a polygraph, remove them, put them in prison until they do take the polygraph, because I think that you will find all kinds of treason within the ranks of security management, because they are the shadow government of NSA, blackmailing even managers in NSA, I'm sure, and that is why security is pushing NSA to try to basically listen in on Americans, because who are Americans that they want to listen into are all the senators and congressmen. So I think this is a very, very serious matter, and somebody needs to jump on it who has the authority to act.
Yes, ma'am. And okay, so people who are listening to this, she's requesting you to push it just as far as you can. When you listen to this radio show, make sure you come in. You want to go ahead and plug your Twitter name real quick. How do people find you on Twitter?
Okay, I actually went into doing artwork and my hobby. So I'm Faux Pas Graphics, Faux G PAWGRAFIX on Twitter. I had started out just doing artwork, and I ended up getting a second harassment from NSA, and I said, that's it. Because I had worked
okay,
for
man.
Them.
Okay, man, 5 seconds, I don't mean to cut you off, but we've got 5 seconds. Go ahead and follow
okay.
me on Twitter at FreeAmerican100, and I would like to invite you to do a Skype interview with me sometime in the next couple of weeks, if that's okay with you.
All right.
All right, thank you very much, and I appreciate all the information, and I will be pushing traffic your way. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.